Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
James chapter number 4, I'll let you remain seated tonight. Look with me in verse number 1. James chapter number 4, verse number 1 says this: From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that you war in your members? You lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now, I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but that's a very good statement right there. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, note the way he says it: ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? He's posing a question, but look what he says. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He's telling you that if you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. He goes on to say in verse 5, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us, the lusteth the envy, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And I know I'm going to say more on that verse in just a second, but sometimes if you're wondering maybe why you can't get through what you're going through, it may be that pride is in the way, because he says that he gives grace to the humble. And sometimes us in a prideful manner will think that we can fix everything in our own self and without any help from anybody else. But God said, if a man lack wisdom, let him ask God, who give it to all men freely. If we'll ask God of it, God will put those people in our lives sometimes to help us along the way. But we have to swallow our pride to ask for somebody to help us. And when we do that, the Bible simply says that he giveth grace unto the humble. He said in verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Preacher, it seems I can't get the devil off my back. Well, evidently you're not resisting him. Are you with me right there? Because the Bible said this: if you resist him, he'll flee from you. Amen. Goes on to say, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, note again what he said in verse number 2. He said, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, or yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now, I want to look at these verses a little while tonight. I want to talk to you about the subject of prayer for just a little while tonight. Father, I love you. I thank you for being good to us. God, thank you, Lord, for mercy and grace. I pray, God, that you'd help us as we look into your word tonight. I pray, God, that we'd get a clear understanding from it. God, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've said this many times, but I say it to you again tonight. I am no great prayer warrior, but I sure want to be. And I fail in my prayer life on a daily basis. And if all of us was honest within ourselves, we would all agree to the statement that I just made. We fail on a daily basis to be the prayer warriors that we should be. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in the book of Luke, chapter number 11, if I'm not mistaken, right there around verse 4 or 5, the disciples is talking to Jesus. And there's one thing that we see the disciples asking Jesus for. And it was simply this: Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Out of all the things that they could have asked him for that day, they wanted the Lord to teach them how to pray. I want to ask you this question tonight. How is your prayer life tonight? You know, a lot of times we get, and again, I'll echo some of this again, but we get things crossed up sometimes in our prayer life, and we use it as a 911 service, or we only use it to ask God for something that we need, and we never truly have that constant line of communication with Him and thanksgiving and not just in wanting. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And I want to talk to you about prayer. Let me show you a couple things by way of introduction in these first four verses. I want you to see this by way of introduction. We need to avoid forsaking praying. What did he say in verse 1 and 2? From hence came wars and fighting among you. Come they not hence, even of your lust that you war in your members. You lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Now watch this. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. We need to avoid forsaking our prayer life. What did he say in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? He said to pray without ceasing. Brother Milton Taylor is probably, besides my dad, the most praying man that I know. And I'll never forget one night we were sitting in Cracker Barrel, and he had been with us that Sunday preaching. And afterwards, we went to Cracker Barrel to eat. That's about the only place Brother Taylor will eat at. And we went to Cracker Barrel to eat, and we got done eating. I know Brother Heath was there, and I think it was Brother Ryan that was there with us. And Brother Taylor reached up in his shirt pocket, and he pulled out a little notepad out of his shirt pocket, and he opened that little notepad up. Brother Taylor got a pen out, and he said, "Now, son, what was your name again?" And he wrote Heath's name down. He wrote Morgan's name down and the kids' names down. And then he looked at Brother Ryan. He said, "Now, son, what was your name again?" And he wrote those names down, and he closed it up, and he put it in his pocket, and he put his pen back in his pocket, and he left and went on. And Brother Heath came up to me, and he said, "What was that all about?" And I said, "You just made Brother Taylor's personal prayer list is what you just done." Man, he's a praying man. And he said this to me. He said, "Probably the greatest times that I have in prayer is riding up the road." He said, "That's when I do the biggest part of my praying." He said, "Preacher, I'm on the road all the time." He said, "While I'm riding up the road, I'm praying." Man, there's a lot of times we could pray, and we just choose not to pray. We allow other things to capture our attention, and we don't pray as we should. So avoid forsaking prayer. But in verse 3 and 4, he deals with this. Avoid foolish praying. What did he say? He said, "You ask amiss." In other words, why are we praying what we're praying? Lord, I sure would love to have a new vehicle. Why do you want a new vehicle? Lord, I sure would love to make more money. Well, why do we need more money? We need to avoid praying foolishly today. And you say, "Well, preacher, my car's breaking down." Well, pray that God would help you with your car. That don't mean that you got to pray for a new Mercedes. Are you with me? We need to avoid those times of foolish praying. James tells them that there are times when they do pray and they still don't get what they ask for because they are asking with the wrong motive. They're asking with the wrong motive. They are asking for things that promote and satisfy self. They are praying unacceptable prayers, and God simply will not answer those kinds of prayers. We are kidding ourselves to think that God is going to answer our selfish wants in our life. So he says to us to avoid those foolish times of praying tonight. Here's really what I want to center in on as we look down through these, the rest of these verses down through verse number 10. And that is adapting our life to faithful praying. To faithful praying. I read this the other day studying, and it said there was a little boy that was trying with all of his might to move a large stone. His muscles were straining. Sweat covered his face and brow as he tried with everything he had to move that stone. His father sat nearby watching all this with mild amusement. After a while, he said to his son, "Son, are you using all of your strength?" The little boy answered, "Yes, I'm using all the strength that I have." His father said, "No, you really aren't, son. You haven't asked me to help you yet." You know what? A lot of times in our life, we're trying to go through life and get everything figured out, and we think that we're using everything we can to do that, but we haven't stopped to say, "Hey, Lord, I need help with this. Lord, would you help me with this?" You know, I said this a while ago, and I'll say it again and probably again and again so many times. We want to figure it all out, and when we can't, then we turn to the Lord and we ask the Lord for His help. And even sometimes He will try to give us an answer, but it's not the answer we want. So we don't take it. And we continue trying to figure it out ourselves. And bitterness comes in, and anger comes in, and malice comes in. And we get bitter at God and angry at God, where God may have been talking to us, but it wasn't what we wanted to hear. You remember Jesus praying, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself on some of this, but you remember Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Father, it's not my will, but thine be done." He told him his will. "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." If I'm just praying for a minute or two, but it's different. But any time that I'm seeking the Lord and really fervently praying, I'll always say this, and some of you have heard me say this praying. "Now, God, over the next few minutes, I will explain some of my will. I may say what I would like to see, but ultimately, Lord, we need your will to be done." And I want you to see 12 things tonight real quickly on adapting to a faithful prayer life. If we're going to have a faithful prayer life, there are some things that has to be in place. Look at verse number 6. "But he giveth more grace, whereby," or "wherefore," he saith, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." If our prayer life is going to be right and we're going to adapt to a faithful prayer life, number one, I would say this, then there must be submissiveness. We've got to be submissive to Him. One of the things that the Spirit of God will do in our lives is make us more submissive to the Father. Do you know that prayer is not about getting what we want from God? That's not what prayer is tonight. It's not that we just seek the face of God. "God, I don't like the way this is going. How about turning this around?" And us to expect God just to do that. Thought about this. Prayer is about God working in us to line our will up with His will. When we get to the place where we want nothing but what God wants, when His will becomes our will, when we are willing to surrender all of our plans, all of our goals, all of our wants, all of our wishes to His will, then we're ready to see God move and start answering prayers. But so many times do we pray, and after we pray, things don't go just like we want it to go. And what do? We get upset. You know what? God is answering your prayer. He's just saying no to what you want. And it's when our will, boy, some of y'all are asleep tonight, but I'm telling you what I'm preaching is right. When it gets lined up with His will, we are submissive. We submit what we want to the Lord. I was thinking the other day, and whenever I was thinking Brother Rodney, I'm going to grab another bite. I can't stand still no longer. I'm trying. But I was thinking the other day, how many times do we in our life get upset because something is not going exactly how we want it to go, but we have prayed for God's will to be done, but we want to step in? I thought about a situation, and I'm not going to go into it, but it's happened over the last few days. And I was helping an individual pray about some things, and it just didn't work out the way we thought it was going to work out. And I thought in the back of my mind, man, you know, I hope they don't get upset over that. Hope they don't allow bitterness to come in over that. And here's exactly what I thought in the back of my mind. Boy, God knows exactly what's going on, and God could have detoured a bigger storm in somebody's life by allowing that to happen. We pray to Him, Lord, we want Your will. And it's not that we fully surrender ourselves to Him. Do we say, God, it's not what I want for my family, it's what You want for my family. God, it's not what I want for my spouse, it's what You want for my spouse. I thought about this. Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Notice what He told them first in Luke chapter number 11. And He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, how will it be Thy name? Thy kingdom done. Watch this. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. What did He say? He said, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So if we're going to adapt to a faithful prayer life, there must be submissiveness. But watch this, number two. Not only being submissive, but be steadfast. Be steadfast. Notice what He says in verse number 7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Jesus tells us next that part of achieving a victorious prayer life is learning to stand against the devil. You know that prayer is warfare. That's why most of our prayers are not answered. We see prayers as an opportunity to share our wish list with the Lord in the hopes that He will give us the things that we desire. In fact, God has chosen to work through His people's prayer. The devil knows that prayer is our direct line to God. And you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to fight it. He's going to fight it. If I ever wake up in the middle of the night, Brother Scotty, and I can't go back to sleep, you know what I start doing? Praying. You know what happens usually, Brother Brian, just 2 or 3 minutes, I go back to sleep. I'll tell you the reason why. The devil fights it. The devil fights it. If I'm going to pray any length at all, now, you may look down on me for this, and that's all right, but if I'm going to pray any length at all, I don't kneel when I do. The biggest part of the time, if I'm going to pray any length at all, I'm sitting at my desk and my eyes is open. You say, but preacher, you can't pray with your eyes open. Well, don't tell me that, okay? Let me tell you the reason I have to do that, Brother Brian. I go to sleep. If I come in here by myself and kneel down behind this pulpit to pray very long at all, it don't matter what time of the day it is. It don't matter how much coffee I've drunk. Let me tell you the reason why. It's warfare, and the devil's trying to keep you from doing it. That's one reason. If I'm going to pray in the church, if you ever drive by and I'm sitting in that chair right there and it looks like I'm talking to somebody, just keep driving. I'm all right. Let me tell you the reason I sit there and pray. Number one, because I can visually see you sitting here. I know where you sit at in the church, and I can call your name. But another reason is it's because I go to sleep. I have praeapnea. Man, I go to sleep every time I close my eyes and start to pray. So He's teaching us this. We not only need to be submissive, we need to be steadfast in our prayer life, man. We need to stay with it. We need to stay with it. I want to ask you something.
Is there something you was praying for at the beginning of 2024 that God's not answered? Now, let me ask you something else. Are you praying as fervently for it today as you was the beginning of 2024? Maybe that's the reason God's not answered it, if the answer is no. Steadfast. Watch this, number three. Look again in your Bible at verse number 8. He says this, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Not only do we need to be submissive, and not only do we need to be steadfast, I would say this to us tonight, we need to be separated. If our prayer life is going to be successful, if we're going to have a faithful prayer life, again, what did He say? He said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What's He saying to us tonight? He's saying that we have to be clean. We have to be separated. I could use this word also. We have to be sanctified. In other words, when we approach the throne of God, we've got to go the right way. If there's sin in our life, Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. You know, so many times when we talk about that, we think, well, you know what, I didn't go get drunk this week, and I didn't cheat on my spouse this week, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. How much you read your Bible this week? Not just sins of commission, but sins of omission. How much have you prayed this week? How much have you witnessed this week? How many people have you invited to the Lord this week? Said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You with me? How many people have we told about Him this week? Said to pray without ceasing. Therefore, to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, the Bible said it's what? It's sin. So you know what we do a lot of times? Whenever we come to this, cleansing our hands and regarding iniquity in my heart, well, I've done all right this week. I read two verses in my Bible, and I prayed over every one of my meals. I prayed over them this week, and I even said, Lord, give me a good night's sleep. Man, hey, let's get real about this thing. How's your bitterness tank tonight? How's your anger tank tonight? How's you questioning God tonight? How's your pride level tonight? Says pride, absolutely. He said He resisteth it. He resisteth it. Don't fall out with it. How's your anxiety this week? Anxiety ultimately is a lack of faith. I'm not throwing off on nobody that deals with it. I'm just telling you, that's what it is. We're not trusting the Lord. So you say, preacher, why are you saying all that? Because if we're going to have a faithful and a fruitful prayer life, church, we have to be sanctified. We have to be separated. Sin has to be out of our life. So many times we classify that as quote-unquote big sins. But I'm going to tell you something. In the eyes of God, sin is sin. Sins of commission and sins of omission. So, number three, we've got to be separated. Number four, watch this. Number four, we've got to be sincere. What did He say in verse number 9 and 10? He said this. Be afflicted. And let me just go back to something. In verse 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise from God. That is a promise from God. You say, preacher, the devil's all over me. I can't get away from him. I don't know what I'm going to do. Verse number 7. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So I just don't know. I'm telling you what the Bible said. It's right there. I guess everybody's asleep tonight. It's right there in the Word of God. Look what He said in verse number 8. Draw nigh to God. and he'll draw nigh to you. That is a promise from God. Preacher, I want to be closer to the Lord. Resist the devil and draw nigh to God and see what God does. God will draw nigh to you over and over and over and over. You know what the truth of the matter is this? If I'm drawing nigh to God, God's drawing nigh to me. Sooner or later, you know what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. Me and God's going to have a head-on collision. That's what's going to happen. But the problem is this, so many times, we don't draw nigh to him because we don't resist the devil. The Bible said if we resist him, that he would flee. You know what that word flee means? It means to turn around and run from you. That is what Satan does when we resist him. The reason Satan might not be running from you is because you're not resisting him. You're allowing him to camp out on your shoulder and continue to put those thoughts in your mind, and you're not living a separated, surrendered, submissive life to Christ. Number four, be sincere. Look what he said in verse number 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now note what he says. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. At two different times, he refers to us being humble. Being humble. We're living in a very prideful society today. Very prideful society. Each and every one of us, the older we get, the more that we struggle. And I had an old man tell me this one time. He said there was the lust of the eyes when I was a young man, teenage boy and a young man. He said there was the lust of the flesh as I became a young adult. He said, but now that I'm an old man, he said, I deal with the pride of life. The older we get, the more prideful we get. Two different times, he instructs us to be humble. To be humble. The whole point of these two verses is that we need to take this matter of prayer seriously. And in doing that, we humble ourselves before him. We humble our will before him. We humble our desires before him. We humble our wants before him. And when we say, Father, not my will, but thine, we truly mean it. And when we don't get our will, we don't stick our bottom lip out like a little youngin' and pout over it. Everybody okay? Said just be